We've heard First Take.
I mean, it's just pathetic, but it's predictable.
We've heard Your Take.
You have to take care of the people and the athletes. Consider them more important than the money.
Now it's time for Jason's Take, exclusively on the First Take Your Take podcast.
The First Take Your Take podcast, I'm Jason Fitz, and we start, as we now do every single day, with my take. We'll get to First Take Your Take and everything you need to hear from Max, Stephen A., and the great guests that talked about the hottest topics, plus some of your take that came in along the way. But I want to start with my take, and it's about entertainment in time of crisis. Now, look, I'm not here to say whether coronavirus and the outbreak right now is a time of true crisis, or whether if it's a time of overexpanded crisis, or whether people are making too much of a deal about too many things. I'm not smart enough to know that. What I'm smart enough to know right now is that there's a sense of chaos, maybe a sense of panic, a sense of caution at the very least. And you look across the board at that sense and you say, what do we need? Now, whether it's today in front of a microphone as a sports talk host, or whether it was before in my life in music, I believe that there's some level to bring normalcy to life by bringing everybody escapism. One of the things that I believe with me and a microphone is that I'm here to make everybody laugh, think, debate, hopefully have a good time, and most importantly, distract everybody from what's really going on in their lives by giving somebody sports entertainment. That's what we're here to do. That's what I'm here to do. And that's important to clarify right now as we look at the NBA and, frankly, everybody trying to figure out how to move forward in this time. See, there's a real decision. Do you delay games? Which, to be clear, would actually benefit the owners. In some ways, if you're an NBA owner and you want to delay games, you know what you still get? Cost of season tickets. You still get concessions. You still make your money. It would make sense for owners to delay games because it protects their pocketbooks. But where do you find that line of protection versus, frankly, the line of giving everybody what they need? We rarely credit owners in sports. In fact, most of the time, most of you hate your owner of your favorite team because they haven't gotten you the player that you wanted. But look right now. Look no further than the fact that the Warriors are going to play in front of an empty arena as an indication that the owners care. Look, there are complications with delaying. I understand that. But delaying at least still lets them make money. Instead, they play in front of nobody. For what purpose? To entertain. To distract. I mean, come on. You get home from a long day. You got a late night NBA game coming on TV. Why are you watching it? You're watching it because you want to be amused. You want to be entertained. You want to get fired up. You want to yell at somebody. You want to feel the competitive juice. You watch it to forget about whatever happened at work that day. You watch it because ultimately you want something that will give you sort of what you're missing for a few hours. That's the power of sports. That's the power that we need right now more than ever. And what do we constantly see? You constantly see that at some point, people have to put entertainment ahead of all that's going on in the world in order to give society what they need. I'll speak to Nashville, a city that I've lived in for a very long time. You guys know that. A city that was devastated by tornadoes. There's a huge event in Nashville every Monday night called Whiskey Jam. And if you're not familiar with country music, many of the stars you see today have come through Whiskey Jam. Last week, when there were tornadoes, less than a week later, Whiskey Jam was back. And when you think about why, it's easy to go into that moment and say, why are people worried about going to an event with a bunch of bands playing when there are homes with houses in them, where there are roofs that are still blocks away from the houses that they belong on? Homes with holes in them, I should say. Why do that? Why do that? Because you're trying to remind everybody that things can be normal. And when things are normal, things can be okay. It's an important part of the role that sports play in society. Look, we can talk all day about politics. You can talk all day about world change. You can talk all day about coronavirus and what it really means. But that's not what this is about. This is about sports. This is about giving you some sort of a release. It's about giving you the opportunity to forget about all that other stuff and enjoy what you love. Look at the XFL. The XFL, a baby league. An XFL that, frankly, every single week is being examined on whether or not it can sustain. That same XFL in one of their most important cities with one of their most passionate fan bases, Seattle, is going to play a game there between LA and Seattle in front of no one. It'll be a haunting image. People will question whether or not it was the right decision. But what does it tell you? In that moment, the XFL gets it. They get what their fans need. Their fans need the ability to sit back, turn on the TV, and for once, not think. Like sports at their best. Get you fired up. Get you angry. Get you passionate. Make you yell about something. Yell in pain. Yell in suffering for so many fans. Yell in glory. Yell in celebration. But no matter what that level of yelling is doing, it's cathartic. It's therapeutic. It's giving you the opportunity to enjoy something that just doesn't matter. But it matters to you because in that moment, it gives you the distraction you need. More so than ever, I think the answer is clear. Across the landscape of sports, what needs to happen? Games need to be played. And whatever it takes to do that in a way that keeps everybody safe, that's the most important thing that can happen. And when leagues decide to do that, remember this one important thing. What they're telling you more so than ever is they actually care about every one of their fans. Because as difficult as it would be to go in and try and figure out how to postpone things, and as many complications as that would create, the one thing it wouldn't complicate is bank accounts. And for once, it feels like pro sports, college sports, and everywhere in between is turning around and saying what matters more than money is what the world needs right now. I hope the NBA plays these games. I hope they play them in front of nobody to keep everybody safe. And most importantly, I hope when everybody watches, they appreciate that the silence that you hear in the crowd is actually a gift from that league to their super fans. Now it's time for First Take, Your Take. Check out everybody's thoughts as we go into it. The NBA continues to look at what to do in the wake of the coronavirus as the NBA Board of Governors prepares to meet with the Commissioner's Office Wednesday to consider moving games to places that haven't had outbreaks, to away locations or even neutral sites as the sports world continues to try to figure out how to deal for the coronavirus outbreak. We'll get you some of that as we go on through the course of the morning. It's First Take, Your Take on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, Sirius XM, Channel 80, and ESPN News. I'm Jason Fitz. We're presented by Progressive Insurance. All phone guests appear on the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line. All right, we're going to ask you this question as we continue to look at rivalries. We've been talking a lot about the Lakers, the Clippers, Kawhi. We've been talking about LeBron. There's some conversation today about KD and the Lakers. All of this conversation brings us to a real question I want your answer on. Right now, what's the best rivalry in all of sports? It can be individual. It can be team. I want the best rivalry anywhere. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. That's how you get in on the conversation. You can also tweet me at Jason Fitz as you get in there. But we're going to start with some Straight Talk. Straight Talk has the full court cell phone coverage you need. Get the unlimited plan with 25 gigs of high-speed data, then 2G for just $45 a month, saving you up to half the cost of big carriers. Everything for less. Savings may vary. See terms and conditions at straighttalk.com. We'll get the Straight Talk from a lot of opinions on coronavirus and the NBA handling of it as the show goes on. But we start today with the big news from last night. The Lakers lose to the Nets. Now, nobody saw that coming. You lose by two to the Nets. It's just one regular season game. Or is it? ESPN Get Up host Mike Greenberg joined Max and Stephen A. to debate how big a deal it is that the Lakers lost to the Nets last night.
I think it's a big deal, but not because of a win or a loss or whatever. It's a big deal because I don't like what I saw on that last shot. LeBron James drives, draws an entire team to him, kicks it out to Anthony Davis, who shoots a wide open three. That is not how the Lakers are going to win the championship, with Anthony Davis shooting threes. That's Danny Green's job. That's Kentavious Caldwell-Pope's job. I understand that Anthony Davis hit about four threes last night, but that's not his job. At 6'10", 6'11", walking around averaging 28 and 12, that's how you win championships, okay? Anthony Davis and the Los Angeles Lakers are not going to win if you're shooting threes. At some point in time, somebody else got to step up. Kyle Kuzma, Kentavious Caldwell-Pope, Danny Green. When you get Deion Waiters up in the lineup, him, somebody else. But when it's Anthony Davis, I want you behind in a post of 15 to 17 feet away from the basket and being a man amongst boys, especially against the Brooklyn Nets. That's what you need to do, because doing that, what they did last night, plays into the hands of the elite teams in the game that don't want Anthony Davis anywhere near the basket because he's virtually unstoppable from there. That's all I'm saying.
That's why it wasn't a big deal, because the Nets are not one of the elite teams in the game this season. So the fact is the Lakers had an emotional letdown. I'm not saying they didn't play hard. I saw them hustling. But you just have to know that there's a difference between the Bucks are coming to town, the Clippers are coming to town. You win both games. LeBron makes his statement, the whole thing, and now you're playing the Nets. And by the way, they had an open look. It looked like a good shot to me. And 50-50, they should have won that game even with the emotional letdown. Let me tell you who I do think it was a big deal for, though. I think it was a big deal for the Brooklyn Nets. And I think it was a big deal for the Nets because Kevin Durant is going to make them better. Because KD, added to any team that ever existed, makes the team better. Mm-hmm. He's the ultimate team player, in fact. One of the reasons that he's not considered even greater and higher up in the pantheon of all-time greats is because he sometimes doesn't assert himself in a way, or hadn't always in the past, because he's always making the right basketball play. Always. He's not like Jordan and Kobe and guys like that would sometimes make maybe technically not the right play, but they make it right and they take over alpha and all that stuff. KD's just always making the right play. At 6'11", he can shoot and everything. Kyrie, however, you don't just add him to any team and make them better than ever was. Any team ever, KD makes better. Kyrie, we've seen him make a couple teams worse in recent years, including the Nets, maybe, who seem to function better without him. It's inexcusable because Kyrie is arguably the most skillful player who ever lived. The best finisher in the paint, under the rim, I've ever seen. The best handles I've ever seen. An elite shooter. A high basketball IQ, the whole thing. And yet, he has had that effect on teams, undeniably. So when I see this one, I say, ooh, Caris LeVert and Dinwiddie and these guys, boy, they're really, really good. KD's going to make them better. Can Kyrie learn how to also make them better?
Maybe. Now, I want to go back to the Lakers piece of this, though, and Stephen A., I will disagree with you slightly. Here's the degree to which I think it is a big deal. Yes, this was your classic trap game. They just played the Bucks and Clippers, and they have huge games coming up. They have Utah twice and the Nuggets. So this was the game that fell in between. But I have been campaigning, including on this show, for LeBron James to be the MVP of the league. And do you know how he gets that? If they catch Milwaukee and finish with the best record in the NBA.
I think that's
the key. And this
There's
was a devastating
right
loss.
Now?
Correct.
Yeah.
Something like that. I don't
I
have the standings in front of me. They are behind them. And this is a gimme, or it should be a gimme. You're playing the Nets, who just fired their coach and don't have Kyrie or KD yet. This should be a gimme. And they're going to take their foot off the gas at some point, the Lakers are, as they get to the end, because they have such a comfortable lead in the West. So you figure they're going to rest Anthony Davis a little. They're going to rest LeBron a little as they play the final week or so. My goal is to get LeBron James the MVP this season. And in my opinion, and from what I've heard from people on my set, including you, Stephen A big factor in that will be, do they finish with the best record in the NBA? And this hurt.
I guess what I'm trying to say to you, Greeny, is that with all due respect, your personal emotions certainly to be respected, but that doesn't make it decide whether it's urgent or not. What I'm pointing to is something from a basketball schematic perspective. If you are the Los Angeles Lakers, any opponent you play wants Anthony Davis shooting threes. And what I'm saying to y'all, forget the three-point shot per se as just a three-point shot. It's the last play of the game. LeBron draws an entire defense to him. Mm-hmm. Yes, Anthony Davis is open. My point to y'all is that where are all of these other guys who that's supposed to be their job? Why are you there? Why are you there if I can't find you to make sure that you're the person?
So you're
LeBron's
not putting
judgment
it on LeBron.
Guard,
I'm not questioning LeBron's judgment at the point guard because he made the right play because Anthony Davis was open.
Yeah.
What I'm saying to you is that if I'm Frank Vogel, why have I designed a play that left Anthony Davis that open instead of a Danny Green or Kentavious Caldwell-Pope or somebody like that? Anthony Davis is Anthony Davis. I get that. But that's not the guy taking threes. Because in the end, if they do it come playoff time, it feeds right into everybody's hands.
It's First Take Your Take on ESPN Radio, presented by Progressive Insurance. Cars, homes, boats, motorcycles, RVs, and more at progressive.com. I think Max made a really strong point there when he talked about the fact that, let's be honest here, when you face some of the teams that the Lakers have faced of late and then the Nets come in, isn't it possible that everybody just has a little bit of a letdown? I mean, it feels like there's still human nature to a long regular season. I want to get everybody updated as we continue to get what looks like breaking news. And now we can add to the coronavirus changes that are happening. Looks like San Francisco is now banning gatherings of more than 1,000 people. That will include Warriors games. This ban looks like it's in place at least initially for 2 weeks. So that the Warriors have a 5-game road trip during that time, but it will affect tomorrow night's game against the Nets and at least the March 25th game against the Hawks. We'll see what that means moving forward, but we know now we can add San Francisco to the list of cities that are banning gatherings of more than 1,000 people, which will directly affect tomorrow night's game. In fact, it's going to be affecting the way all of us watch sports. Let's not forget the NCAA tournament's coming right around the corner, right? All eyes are going to be on the NCAA tournament. Well, we know at this point that the NCAA tournament is keeping at least an eye on what to do moving forward. Myra Metcalf is the ESPN college basketball reporter and co-host of Sunday Morning on ESPN Radio. Myron's one of our best college basketball minds we have here. He was on the Will Cain show yesterday talking about what he expects, and it's not what you think. He expects a lot of games with very few fans. Check it out.
That's still my expectation. I mean, I could be proven wrong. Obviously, the ACC tournament went forward, and they're still hosting their activities as normal. But I think between today and next Thursday, that is a lot of time for the NCAA to make a decision. And I just don't see how you put all those people in an arena coming from all over the country in this current climate and just go sort of business as usual. I would be shocked still if there are fans in the stands at the NCAA tournament in the coming weeks. I just don't see it happen.
And that would be an alarming view, a way to watch the NCAA tournament, watching everybody go after their dream in front of completely empty crowds. One thing I know is no matter how you're watching your sports, you should wake up and do it with the perfect breakfast. Wake up to double the good stuff this morning. Get more every morning. Get more out of breakfast. Start your day with 2 for $4 breakfast sandwiches only at McDonald's during breakfast hours. Price and participation may vary. Speaking of participation, the NBA is trying to figure out how and where games should take place. And I'd be interested to take your thoughts on this. Obviously, we're asking you the best rivalry in all of sports. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. We'll take some of your take on that. I'll also take your take on what we're doing as we go along. There was a lot of conversation yesterday about coronavirus and what's happening across the sports landscape. How should leagues be handling it at this point? Because we are now hearing reports that the NBA is considering moving games to locations that haven't had a coronavirus outbreak, which could include away teams. It could mean shifting games. It could also mean going to neutral site locations. ESPN NBA reporter Brian Windhorst joined the panel of Max and Stephen A. We're going to take your take, 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. But first, let's start with some of your take as ESPN NBA reporter Brian Windhorst joined Max and Stephen A. to talk about how the NBA is handling this and what they're considering doing in the light of coronavirus outbreaks.
As a basketball fan, I'm depressed. As a human being and as an American citizen, I'm getting to the point where I'm scared as hell. Mm-hmm. And the reason why is because, you know, you 1 minute you're just saying, OK, this is an elevated case of the flu. This is what you're thinking at the moment when it first I'm talking about weeks ago. Mm-hmm. And then all of a sudden you get a phone call that your daughter ain't coming to school for weeks at a time because school's closing. And then you realize what the hell's going on here. You remember Spanish flu 1918. I mean, they didn't contain it. They didn't, you know, they didn't arrest the virus, what have you. And about 50 to 100 million people was killed before, you know, they got a hold of things. You look at it now, as you were talking about, Brian, during the break, China, South Korea, Italy, shutting down basically everything. Well, if that's happening, you know that the United States is going to be next. And when you talk about sports leagues, I think the thing that's very, very alarming to me is that people, I've seen the emotions, you know, when the Ivy League canceled their basketball tournament, you know, conference tournament and stuff like that. And people are in an uproar. And I'm like, well, wait a minute here. We don't know. We're talking about an infectious disease that could ultimately end up killing you. What is your problem? If they're acknowledging that containment is an issue, all right, then to me, nobody should have any kind of pushback whatsoever. I understand the business end of it all, and y'all could get into all of that. But I'm just talking about as human beings in terms of being concerned about the health and well-being of our nation.
Yeah.
How can you have a problem with somebody erring on the side of caution
when you talk about potential death lying, you know, waiting down the line in the event that you act irresponsibly or negligently. Mm-hmm. How could you have a problem with that? Because clearly it appears to be a problem. If somebody's exaggerating, if somebody's lying or whatever, that would be a different ball game. But if nations are saying,
countries
me,
are being shut down,
we got to shut this down. It's that damn scary. I think that's a reason to raise an eyebrow and say, yo, this is more serious than I thought it was.
The mortality rate from this, again, from the most recent numbers, is at least, they're not sure exactly, mm-hmm. but at least it looks like 10 times the flu.
Yeah.
So it's serious. The issue seems to be not containment because it's going to go away, but to slow the transmission of it so that the health system isn't overtaxed. That's when mortality rates go even higher. So you understand the league doing due diligence, the Ivy League canceling the tournament. We'll see what happens with March Madness. We'll see all these things. But you understand the NBA saying, let's move it to places where it seems that we'll see the efficacy, but it seems like that's not going to work.
Why are you shaking your head?
What do you mean it's not going to work?
Let me finish what I'm going to say, and
we'll get to Brian. So then it becomes, can they play in front of empty gyms? Because the idea being, you know, there's already rules in certain cities and states. You can't have gatherings of more than two, I think it was Washington State, 250 people mm-hmm. in a place, right? So two teams playing together, it's 50 people in a place. A stadium is 20,000 people in a place, right? So you could see something like that happening because there's still TV revenue there, even if there isn't ticket sales revenue. And you want to protect the money makers. The question is not whether they're going to do that or not. The question is, will that even work? Or is this thing happening so fast that we won't even get to that before ultimately games are canceled?
I'm going to put my reporter hat on first. Reporter, I would just say that what I've been told is this call with the owners today. Everything is on the table. There is nothing that isn't going to be considered. It's going to be procedural. What do we do now? What are our next steps? I do believe there's a strong chance, from what I understand, that they will begin a plan to take fans out from out of arenas, not just because it's the right thing to do, but also because local governments are making it for them. Now I'm going to take that hat off, and I'm just going to be a realist here.
Okay.
The reality is, if you look what happened in China, and you look what's happening in Italy, the Serie A, which is their NFL, is shut down. Okay? Basketball in China, which is huge, is shut down, has been shut down for 2 months. That's likely what we're headed for here. I'm not talking about from a health situation. I'm not a doctor. I don't know what's going on with this virus. I'm just saying the containment is what the governments are doing. It's not even going to be up to the leagues. It's going to be up to the governments. And the reason why moving into a city that doesn't have an outbreak right now isn't going to work is because we don't know where the outbreaks are because we don't have the testing. They're not testing in certain areas, so we don't know. We really don't know how many cases there are.
Which is because the CDC won't accept
tests. Okay, that's fine. That's a different topic of conversation. I don't know about any of that. I'm just telling you, you know, that's where the reality is. Now, from a financial standpoint, playoff ticket revenue is enormous. Mm-hmm. While it is true that your average NBA game, the majority of the revenue that comes in is from the TV. And in theory, the league could still operate just fine. In fact, the ratings might actually go up because so many people are in quarantine with just the people in the stands. That's fine. But when it comes to the playoffs, from a revenue standpoint, a game in Los Angeles, $10, $15 million a game per game for the Lakers and Clippers. You think about how many games, if they don't have playoff revenue and they have to give that money back, and by the way, they don't have a process for that. That's one of the things they're going to talk about. They don't have a plan in place. How do we play the playoffs without fans? If they have to give that money back, it's a material effect on next year's salary cap because they've already built in hundreds of millions of expected revenue.
So in other words, they're better off canceling the games?
No, postponing, suspending. I think my guess, not as a reporter, as somebody who lives in this world and has been watching China, mm-hmm. is that we're eventually going to face suspension of the games. And we're just going to push it
entirely.
Back.
Entirely. Yeah.
Question for you. You said, obviously, this is not going to be up to the league. It's going to be basically up to the governments. As it pertains to today's conference call between the commissioner and the owners, is there anyone else that's scheduled to participate in that conference call other than the owners, the league's board of governors, and the commissioner?
I don't know the answer to that. What I do know is that the league has struggled to find a consensus from the health experts. They have been striving over the last few days to get an ironclad thing. This is what we need to do. And they're having difficulty because, as you said, different people are saying different things.
And again, the breaking news we now have is that the city of San Francisco has banned gatherings of more than 1,000 people, which will affect, and that's for the next 2 weeks. That will affect at least two home games, as that ban for Golden State, for the Warriors. That ban will affect at least two home games. Not sure yet what it's going to mean for the Giants and exactly how far that ban goes. Also, kind of stunning to hear Brian Windhorst sit there and say they've been postponing basketball games in China for 2 months. So it shows you how serious this is. College basketball also will be affected there in the home stretch. Tune in today for the ACC tournament quarterfinals. Coverage begins at 6:30 p.m. Eastern on ESPN Radio and the ESPN app. We've heard some First Take. I want to get some your take. Chris in Jersey wants to chime in. Chris, what's your take on the NBA moving games?
Yeah, I got a question for you. I'm wondering how the logic comes behind this. They want to take players from cities that are known to have the virus and then have them go to cities that don't have the virus to play other players that could potentially then transfer the virus to their city. How does that make any sense of the NBA in protecting their players and the fans?
Well, I think the logic is that the NBA is trying to keep players involved. I mean, at this point, the presumption the NBA is going to make is that their players don't have it. So they're sending a bunch of people that don't have it to cities where, at least as of now, they don't have it. The hardest part about this is we just don't know the full scope yet. I mean, to your point, I think one of the things that we all have to remember is that what we're trying to do is stop the spread of this. Now, I'm not a doctor, and I'm not going to pretend to be a doctor. So the NBA is going to have to try and figure out how they can put their players in a situation where the players stay as healthy as possible. Because ultimately, once the league has to deal with one confirmed case from one confirmed player, what does that do to the NBA? I want your thoughts on how sports leagues and any of the leagues should be handling this. Because we're looking at the draft for the NFL. We're looking at the NBA. We're looking at college basketball being affected right now. How should sports leagues be handling this? So I'll take your take on it. 888-SAY-ESPN. 888-729-3776. In fact, we'll keep taking your take on it next. Plus, how confident are you that Dak can win a Super Bowl in the next 4 years? You'll hear what they thought about it on First Take. But first, you're in charge of hiring for your business. I'm trying to help you. I'm trying to make this easier for you. Indeed's customized solutions help you quickly find the perfect new employee. Screen your questions, narrow the field down based on your must-have job requirements, and adding Indeed's online skills test to your posting helps you make your candidate shortlist in record time. Now your business can flourish with the help of just the right person. And right now, post your first job at Indeed.com/DJ today. Get a sponsored job upgrade for free. That's right. Indeed.com/DJ. Terms and conditions apply. We'll hear what everybody thinks about Dak, plus your thoughts on how leagues should be handling coronavirus coming up next. First, take your take on ESPN Radio. The news continues to break minute by minute as we continue to get more perspective on what's happening right now in the world of coronavirus and how it affects the sports world. We'll keep you updated as we find out more. We do know that College Basketball Invitational has been, the CBI, has been canceled altogether. We also know that the city of San Francisco has limited gatherings of more than 1,000 people for the next 2 weeks, which will impact directly two Golden State games. So we know that tomorrow night's game against the Nets will be impacted, as well as a game against the Hawks later in the month. We've started to break that down, and we've started to give you the chance to chime in. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776, how sports leagues should be handling coronavirus. We'll take your take, plus a bunch of you have been tweeting me, at Jason Fitz. We'll read some of those. If you missed the first hour of today's show, go check it out on demand in the First Take Your Take podcast. We also do something nice there. At the beginning of each hour, we give you my take, so you get an opportunity to hear a little bit more of what I think on some of the biggest issues from today's show. It's brought to you by Capital One. Why settle for average? With Capital One, you can open a savings account with the rate 5 times the national average. Welcome to Banking Reimagined. What's in your wallet? Capital One, N.A., member FDIC. Check it out wherever you get your podcast. We'll get your take in just a moment, but what we all know right now is that we've got a feud coming that seems to just be electric for everybody. It's between Charles Barkley and Draymond Green, and it has heated up again. Recently, Barkley has been critical of Green's play during the down season for the Warriors. Green clapped back at Barkley hardcore, which led to an interesting Barkley comment made about Draymond on the Dan Patrick Show. Check it out.
Barkley should stop before I go take his job, though. If I can do that well, too. He already ain't making enough money playing, so he need that job. He should stop talking to me. He also can't talk basketball to me either. Not smart enough, not qualified. No rings, can't sit at this table.
I like Draymond. He's a good player. But you know what he is? He's like the guy in the boy band who's the least important member. And he thinks the crowd is like cheering for him. He doesn't realize he's standing next to Justin Timberlake. He's the least famous person in the boy band, and he thinks he's a star.
Y'all know I know boy bands better than most people. I'm just saying, you know I'm the boy band expert around here. And I'll tell you all day, Chris Kirkpatrick and Joey Fatone are not apologizing for the paychecks they got standing next to Justin Timberlake. I'm just saying. All right, so who looks worse in the feud between these two? Is it Draymond or is it Barkley? ESPN NBA analyst Matt Barnes joined Max and Stephen A. to debate it today.
Draymond was not on Barkley's level as a skilled player. We all know that. Barkley is top 50 all time. Barkley was a great, great player, even though he never won a championship.
True.
Okay. And no, Draymond, you can't take Charles Barkley's job because he is television. I mean, you know, Charles Barkley talking about the NBA, people watch and listen. Trust me.
Charles Barkley talking about anything.
There you go. Okay.
Boy bands.
Here's my problem though. On one hand, Barkley knows the game and you know there's more to the game than just scoring. I can't stand when basketball players sit up there and call out other dudes because they weren't the scorer. Let me tell you something right now. You know who Ewing loved? Oakley. You know who Michael Jordan loved? Oakley. You know, the enforcers who protect you and stuff like that. You know Isaiah loved the Bill Laimbeers of the world. To this guy, that's it, Rick Mahorn and those boys. Those are his boys to this very day because they protect. Everybody's got a job to do. Draymond does his job at a very exceptional level when Steph and Clay are on the court. Barkley knows that. In the case of Draymond Green, rather than insult, clapping back at Barkley, why don't you talk about your game and what you bring to the table and educate people about how brilliant you are basketball-wise? Because Draymond is a brilliant brother
when it
comes to basketball. Do you know that with the meetings where they got picks coming in, you know, they got their war rooms and stuff like that. The other players ain't there. Draymond shows up. Draymond's in that war room with the Golden State Warriors, picking players, telling you what players will work, what players won't, what system we should run, et cetera, et cetera. Draymond is an active participant. And the brother is a savant basketball-wise, and I wish that instead of just clapping back at Barkley, he would show that.
Draymond does, like, Oakley, boycotting the Knicks and Dolan until he apologizes publicly to Oakley. I'm waiting on blockbuster lines as a kid for Knicks tickets to watch Oakley. Love Oakley. And a lot of the guys you mentioned, Draymond does more than just what the typical power forward used to do.
Mm-hmm.
I always thought if you boil down the Warriors to their essential elements, Steph is one. I think Draymond is two, actually. His pick and roll partner, the guy, the do everything man. You can't really run that system the same way without Draymond. And there are only a handful of Draymonds that Draymond should clap back at Charles and say I've won championships. Right. Partly because the way I can integrate into that stuff. I'll say this about Barkley. Like, Draymond thinking he could do Charles Barkley's job better than Barkley. Barkley's job is not just analyzing basketball. Charles Barkley is the most entertaining dude in the media, period. Like, I'll watch Charles Barkley and listen to him talk about anything. He's hilarious. And the only guy I really seen getting, when they're snapping, Shaq can snap better than Chuck. He gets the better of that.
Shaq wants to fight him.
Chuck is the most entertaining dude in the world.
I think Draymond's going to be successful post-career talking about basketball, too.
He's been very entertaining, very funny. He's got a really good personality,
too. And I'm going to go out on a wire and say maybe they get one, but I don't see Golden State winning multiple titles without the importance of what Draymond does, not only to that team on the floor, but like Stephen A. said, the Warriors culture as a whole. He has his handprint on that culture as a whole, and they've all taken his mentality and approach to the game.
First Take, Your Take on ESPN Radio. You guys have your handprint all over what's happening with coronavirus. We're getting your thoughts. How should leagues be handling it? You guys join us on the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line, 888-729-3776. Kevin in Orlando wants to chime in. Kevin, what's your thought?
Hey, what's up, Jason, man? Wow. I was listening to you talk about, the quarterback situation. That's a whole other issue, but you're right. I'm just going to say you're right. You're right on that. Really, this is China and Italy and those countries are not the United States. So for them to suspend play in China for 2 months, that's a government decision. The government can't suspend NBA play in the United States. The government doesn't even control sports. So you're not comparing apples to apples. That's number one. Number two, we have a totally different structure. and we're more reactive than we are proactive.
And I, you know what, Kevin, I like everything you're saying there. Sorry, we're up against it, so we got to let you get off. But I like what you're saying there about reactive, proactive. The question is, would people still go? I mean, if the arenas are open, are y'all still going? That's a fair question at this point. Nobody seems to chime in on that. At Jason Fitz, 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. You'll hear more of what First Take has to say about it, and we'll take more of your take coming up next. It's First Take, Your Take on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, and, of course, ESPN News.